Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
Tonight, the title of my message is, What is the Gospel? It's part four of this series that we've been doing called Tell Someone Talks. It's the last message in this series. And our objective has not been to just talk about evangelism, but to really help you do evangelism. And one of the things that we did last Saturday is that we took out 64 people out on the streets to share their faith. They went out to the Spectrum Mall, and 43 were from Harvest Orange County, 21 from Harvest Riverside. And a lot of these are people who had never shared their faith before. I'm talking about going up cold to people and starting conversations about God. And out of that time they had, listen to this. This is amazing. 42 people asked Christ to come into their lives. See? So I'm going to bring 12 of them up here. These are folks just like you, most of them under 30, actually. But these are not people who are on staff. These are not people who are in ministry, as we would call it. They're just good old Christians like you and me who have learned more about sharing their faith. Some are very new at it, by the way, and are doing a great job. So I'm going to interview them. Jason Powell, who's been doing this series with me, is going to help me. And we're going to find out what happened to them. And I might come out there, too, and ask some of you questions. So you better get ready, because it's happening tonight. All right, well, let's grab our Bibles and let's turn over to the book of the Gospel of John, I should say. And chapter 3, we'll look at a very familiar verse there in a moment. But the title of my message is, What is the Gospel? All right, so we live in a day of bad news, a day of divisive news, a day of depressing news, and a day of fake news, right? So we as Christians need to recommit ourselves to getting the good news out. And when I say the good news, I mean the good news of the gospel. You all know that the word gospel means good news. And I believe the gospel of Jesus Christ remains the hope of the world and the only hope for our country and the only hope for any person living on the face of the earth. And we need it perhaps more now in our country than maybe any other time in our history. Now, when I say this, I'm not in any way saying we don't need to go out and do the good things we do as Christians. You know, nobody does more for hurting people than Christians. This is the bottom line. I mean, most churches I know of constantly are providing food and clothing and sometimes housing and rehabilitation for people who may have problems with drugs or are on the streets, or we will provide free counseling for people with troubled marriages, and all day long we help people in practical ways. We do that a lot, and so we should. But that should not take the place of gospel proclamation, because Jesus did not say, go into all the world and be a good example. No, he said, go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel. Now, that doesn't mean I should go be a bad example. And the fact is, if I'm a good example, I'll in effect earn the right to preach the gospel. I mean, if I go out to a person on the street with no food and I buy him a meal, in a way, I've sort of earned the right to have a conversation with them about God. So you have that going. But the main thing is we need to articulate. Now, don't be thrown off by the word preach. When we say go into all the world and preach, it doesn't mean you have to be a preacher. Because when we hear the word preach or preacher, it's usually in a negative way, right? Hey, man, we'll say, don't preach at me, right? It's a negative, never a positive. And it usually involves, you know, elevating one's volume and, you know, that sort of thing. But that's not what we're talking about. When we say go into all the world and preach the gospel, we could just as easily say go into all the world and talk the gospel. Go into all the world and tweet the gospel. Go into all the world and, you know, post on your Facebook page something about the gospel. Go into all the world and start conversations about the gospel. So it's not about yelling. It's not about elevating your voice, though there are times for that. But it's just about communicating this message. I mean, what would you think of watching a show, maybe the news that was on, say, at 6, And the anchorman took his seat behind the desk with his perfectly coiffed hair. And the theme song rolled, and then the camera went in for the tight shot, and he just sat there and smiled. And he smiled for like 28 minutes, and that was the end of the program. He said, what was that all about? Well, the anchorman said, I was just being a good example. No, you're there to deliver the news, so give us the news. So yeah, be a good example, but deliver the news. And that's what we're talking about in this series, articulating the message. And listen to this. I don't think most Americans have heard a proper presentation of the gospel. I think they've heard versions of it. I think they've heard distortions of it. But I wonder how many people have heard a proper biblical, and I might add loving and understandable, presentation of the gospel. Here are some stats. 7 out of 10 American adults have no clue as to what John 3:16 means. Barely 1/3 of all adults know the meaning of the expression, the gospel. Only 4% of adults could define the Great Commission. So when you go up to someone and say the gospel, don't even assume they know what that word means. We have to break this down. It's very important that we understand what the gospel is, because the Bible warns of a false gospel that people can believe in. Galatians 1:6, Paul writes, I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ, and you're turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some are throwing you into confusion, and they're trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Paul says, if we or even an angel from heaven should preach a gospel, then the one we preach to, let him be preached to you. Let him be eternally condemned. That's interesting. There can be a different gospel. Listen to this. Any gospel presentation that promises forgiveness without repentance is not the gospel. Any gospel presentation that promises the glory of heaven without warning of the horrors of hell is not the gospel. So my fear is a lot of people are either hearing a distorted gospel or they're hearing a watered down gospel. One that is so diluted and so benign and so vanilla that there's nothing in it. There's no teeth in this gospel, and it's not really a biblical gospel. So a person is saying, well, I believed in Jesus and I prayed and asked him in my life, so let's go get drunk. Houston, we have a problem. There's a disconnect between lifestyle and so-called conversion here. So I think some people have believed a false gospel, thus they've had what we would call a false or fake conversion, and we're giving false assurance. So we want to make sure we're giving the real gospel. So what elements must be in place for the gospel to be the gospel? Well, certain ingredients must be there. If I'm going to make a chocolate cake and I leave out chocolate, it's no longer a chocolate cake. And if I'm going to present the gospel and I leave these elements out, it's not really the gospel. I already told you the word gospel means good news. Before we can fully appreciate the good news, we have to first know the bad news. I heard a story about two old guys who were wondering if there's baseball in heaven. So they promised each other if one of them died before the other, they would communicate from the other side and let them know if there's baseball in heaven. So one of them died, and then a week later, he spoke to his friend from heaven. This is a true story. No, it's obviously a joke. So he spoke to his friend, said, Joe, I've got good news. I'm in heaven, and guess what? There's baseball in heaven. Well, his buddy was so excited. He says, that's the good news, but there's some bad news. He said, what's the bad news? He said, well, you're pitching on Friday. So that didn't, you know, that's bad. Good news, bad news jokes, right? There's a million of them. Okay, so the good news, yes, is forgiveness, but let's first begin with the bad news so we can fully appreciate the good news. Here's the bad news. The bad news is we're all sinners and we've sinned against a holy God. And no matter who we are, we have sinned. Now, sometimes maybe in ignorance, but we have often done it on purpose. Romans 3:23, a verse every Christian should memorize. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So these are important things to explain. So when you're talking to a non-believer, you have to establish with them that they're a sinner. Now, Don't assume that a person who is not a believer understands what it means to be a sinner, because they may think you're insulting them. Well, you're a sinner. Well, I'm a good person. So first of all, you have to explain that you're a sinner too. And you have to explain what sin means. The word sin is translated many ways in the Bible. One definition is a trespass, a crossing a line. Ephesians 2:1 says you are dead in your transgressions, trespasses, and sins. So when we break a commandment of God, for instance, we're crossing a line. You know, you see the little sign in the park where the grass has just been planted, you know, no trespassing. So if you step over that line, you've just crossed that line. So we've all broken God's commandments. We've all crossed the line. But there's another definition of sin in the Bible, and it means to miss the mark. To miss the mark. And it's sort of the idea of archery, firing at the target with your arrows, your bow and your arrows. And maybe you have 10 arrows, and the objective is to get all of them in the bullseye. And you get, you know, one in the bullseye and one in the outer part of the ring, and then one in the friend next to you, and one in a stray cow walking by. I don't know. But, you know, so you've done a horrible job. Now, let's say I walk up after you and I get all 9 of mine in the bullseye, but one's just a little off. I'm still a sinner because I've still missed the mark. Now, granted, you miss the mark more than I miss the mark, but missing the mark once is enough to technically miss the mark. The Bible says all have missed the mark. Say, miss what mark? God's mark. God's standard for humanity, which is perfection. So you say, here's the thing. You're a sinner. Don't take it personally. I'm a sinner too. They'll say, well, I'm a good person. You'll say, you know what? I'm not disputing that. Because in a broad sense, they may be a good person, relatively speaking. But when we say a person is not good, we're not just saying they're bad in every way. We're simply saying they're not good enough to get to heaven. And when we tell them they're a sinner, we're acknowledging that we too are sinners and we have crossed the line and we've fallen short of God's standard. And then they'll say, well, I've never sinned. And then that's when the Ten Commandments come in. And you might say, well, have you ever lied? Have you ever taken the Lord's name in vain? Have you always honored your father and your mother? Have you ever stolen anything? Have you ever had lust in your heart for someone or committed adultery? Well, if they're truthful, they'll say, okay, yeah, I have. So you say one sin is enough to keep you out of heaven. So you're establishing the problem. That's the bad news, that we're all sinners. But here's the good news. The good news is God has done something to alleviate our condition. The good news is Christ came to this earth to die on the cross for our sin. Romans 5 says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, no one is likely to die for a good person, though someone might be willing to die for a person who's especially good. But Christ showed his love toward us that while we were sinners, he died. So you'd basically say, because there was no other way for you to satisfy the righteous demands of God, Christ died for you, you see. Because Jesus was fully God and he was fully man. There's never been a man who has walked this earth like Jesus. And that's why he and he alone is uniquely qualified to bridge the gap between sinful humanity and a perfect and holy God that we have all sinned against. Okay, so you tell them this, and this is what Jesus did. And they might ask, well, what if I don't believe in Jesus? Because I don't really think I want to. What will happen to me? Now, here's where a lot of Christians choke, because we don't want to use the H word. We don't want to say hell, and so we'll sort of skirt the subject. What will happen to you? Let me ask you this. Do you like warm climates? Sooner or later, you're going to have to say the truth. Well, here's the truth. If you reject God's offer of forgiveness, the Bible says you'll go to hell. Hell, they'll say. Well, how could a God of love send people to hell? Is usually the question you will hear. And here's something to consider. Jesus Christ spoke more about hell than all the other preachers of the Bible put together. Now, usually we think of Jesus as a personification of love and grace. And indeed he was. But he talked about hell more than anybody else. Why? Because he has seen the horrors of it. He knows what hell is all about. And the last thing he wants is for any man or woman created in his image to spend eternity separated from him. How could a God of love send people to hell? The fact is, God doesn't really send people to hell. We make that choice ourselves. C.S. Lewis said, quote, "There are only two kinds of people in the end, those who say to God, 'Thy will be done,' and those to whom God says in the end, 'Thy will be done.' All who are in hell choose it," right? Choose it, writes Lewis. "Without that self-choice, there could be no hell," end quote. Timothy Keller wrote, quote, "People only get in the afterlife what they have most wanted, either to have God as Savior and Master or to be their own saviors and masters. Hell is simply one's freely chosen path going on forever," end quote. So the idea is, God doesn't send you there. You send yourself there by your rejection of God's gift to you of forgiveness of sins that you have committed. And so only Christ can do this for you. And then eventually you're going to get around to John 14:6. Another verse every Christian should memorize, which is Jesus speaking, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." The Apostle Paul echoed these same words, Acts 4:12. "There is salvation in no one else under heaven. There's no other name for men to call upon to save them." Paul said the same thing. Excuse me, Peter said that other thing. Paul said in 1 Timothy 2:5, "There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." So here's where you're headed. You're headed to the message of the death and resurrection of Jesus. See, that's the main thing. You'll use your testimony to build a bridge, telling your personal story. But the main thing is you want to get to this essential message. And you don't want to get distracted and get off on rabbit trails. People want to get into political discussions or debates about other things. Answer those questions to the best of your ability and bring it back home again. Christ modeled this for us, as we saw in our last time in John 4 with the woman at the well that kept wanting to debate subjects that were irrelevant to what he was talking about, and he brought her back to the main subject, and you must do the same. Here's the key. It's the KISS principle. The KISS principle. K-I-S-S, an acronym for keep it simple, stupid. Just keep it simple. Don't talk over a person's head. Don't make it over complicated. Present it in an understandable, simple way. Make sure the person understands what you're saying. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Let me say that again. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing, and the main thing is the gospel, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And getting to that message, I'm telling you, it has power. I'm still amazed, even though I've been preaching it for many years now, how when I proclaim this message, how it impacts lives. It's not my message. I'm just a delivery boy. I've told you before, when as a kid, I had a paper route, and I had my super cool Schwinn Stingray with a stick shift. They don't make them anymore because they're really dangerous to put a stick shift on a bicycle, don't you think? Had sort of a slick back tire, smaller front tire, banana seat, sort of elevated handlebars. Very cool. And I had my bags on there, my newspapers, and I got pretty adept at getting that paper as close to the front door as possible. But my job as a newspaper boy was not to write the news. My job was not to make the news. My job was to deliver the news. And that's our job. It's just to deliver the good news. And here's something to consider. You are successful in your conversations when the gospel is preached and understood. Let me say that again. Hear me on this. You are successful in sharing the gospel when it's preached and understood. That's your job. Only God can convert a person. I've never converted anyone. I never will convert anyone. That's the work of the Spirit. But my job, my calling, my commission, and yours as well, is to bring the message to a person. So if I have the opportunity to articulate the gospel message in an understandable way, I've done my job and I have succeeded. Now, sometimes God will have me sow a seed. Don't think because you sowed a seed, that wasn't a good day. Listen, no seed is ever going to be reaped if it isn't first sown. So first you sow it. In other days, the Lord will have you water a seed someone else sowed. In other days, by his grace, he'll let you reap where others have sown and watered. And I really want to encourage you, and we talked about this last time, to pop the question. and which is, would you like to accept Jesus Christ right now? Now, I don't encourage you to say it to every person. You know, don't walk into a Starbucks and go to every person online and say, would you like to accept Jesus Christ right now? Would you like? No, you're going to get thrown out. Don't do that. You have to wait for the right moment, at the right point of the conversation, and I believe being led by the Lord to ask that question. And so now we're going to talk about that with some people that have done it. We're going to have them come up. So all 12 of you, wherever you are, come on up here to the stage. And they're all going to sit here on this platform. And they're coming. Here comes the first one. Let's welcome them as they come out. Hi, you guys. What a fine-looking group of people, wouldn't you say? Look at this. All right. So you all went out last Saturday night, right? Yep. Yes. Okay. So let's kind of take a quick little poll here. First of all, tell me how many of you are under the age of 30. Raise your hand. Okay, good. Most of you. How old are you?
I'm 46.
Wow, you're the old guy. Okay. On that side. All right. Now, of those of you that went out and did this, how many of you have been a Christian for 10 years or more? Raise your hand. Okay, that's very important. Did you see that? Most of them have been a Christian less than 10 years. How many of you have been a Christian 5 years or less? Okay, how long have you been a Christian?
Well, I've been a Christian since I was like 8 years old, but I haven't been walking with Christ except for past about a little over 3 years.
Okay, good. How long have you been a Christian, Shane?
A similar story. I grew up by kindergarten and then about 3 years.
Walking. So about 3 years. How about you?
Almost two.
2 years. Now this young guy, tell me your name again.
Dominic.
Dominic. Do you remember when I had someone come up and share the gospel? I didn't know this guy. This is Dominic. I'd met him before, but I'm going senile. And so Dominic came up just randomly out of the crowd. I had not talked to him in this way before. And he gave one of the best articulations of the gospel that I've heard. Even better than some preachers, I might add. And he's been a believer for such a short period of time. So that really impresses me. And how long have you been a Christian?
I've been a Christian for 5 years.
What, do you want a medal? No, seriously, that's great. How about you?
About 4 years.
4 years. And how about you?
5 years.
Okay, so you're all, whoops, sorry. You're all relative, this is my son, Jonathan, here. I just stepped on his foot. You're all relatively young believers. And so I love the fact that you went out there and shared. Now, Jason, why don't you, like, you were out there with them, leading them in this thing. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, it was a great night. And so, as you know, we've been mentioning this opportunity to go out and share our faith. And so this past Saturday, we had 64 that joined us on the street, and we had 42 commitments to Christ, which is amazing. I mean, think about that. That's something to clap about. And so this group here just represents, you know, some people that are really experienced in evangelism and also some newbies that have not really done it too much. So it was a great night.
Who are the experienced ones? Raise your hand. You've done this before. It's okay. You're not boasting. It's good. Yeah, okay. Who are the newbies? Like, this is new for you.
Probably Vu, Keith.
Okay.
Betsy in the back.
What is your name?
Betsy.
Okay, so Betsy, you've never done this before.
I've done it before, but like my second month, maybe.
Okay, and were you scared to go out and do this?
Yes, especially like leading two girls that I didn't know if they've done it before, and I'm still new about it, yeah.
So tell me what happened to you.
Went up to about three groups of girls.
So you walked up to three groups of girls. Yeah. You and one other person?
Two other girls, yeah.
So you had two Christians with you, and you went up to a group of how many girls?
Three. In one group, two in another, five in another.
Okay, going up to five girls that you don't know, is that kind of scary, starting a conversation about God?
Yeah, they walked away.
They walked away, that's good. I like that, because that's what happens, right? They don't always listen, but did they all walk away, all the people you talked to?
They didn't want to, but sometimes when one wants to walk away, they all just follow the leader.
Yeah. So was it mainly just sowing seeds, do you think, the other night, or did you have an opportunity to have a more meaningful conversation?
I got into two great conversations sharing the gospel. The other ones was just, okay, we'll want to invite you out to Harvest, and gave them the little handout, and yeah, praying for you.
Okay, so I want to tell you, what you did the other night was a complete success. Okay, a complete success. Who prayed with the guy?
So no, actually, no, that was Alan on the end.
Oh, and Alan,
so
Alan, I'm sorry, I walked away. Yeah, okay, so he prayed with. Let me contrast that with Alan. Do you know each other? You two?
This is Alan right here.
Oh, I'm sorry, Alan. I'm sorry. Okay, Alan. Sorry. Okay, so Alan.
Alan has a microphone right behind you.
Do you know her? Have you met her?
Yes.
Yeah. Are you single, by the way? Are you single?
No.
Okay. Are you single?
No.
Are you single? This is just scary right now. It's just, I was trying to do a little matchmaking and it all fell apart. All right. So tell me what happened to you, because you had an amazing experience.
The Muslim guy. Yeah. So, yeah, I went up to this guy. He was a Muslim. And he was a backsliding Muslim.
So in other words, he's been raised in a Muslim home, but he wasn't really practicing.
Yes, I was going through Hangelism, and I went through the...
Explain that again in case they don't know what Hangelism is.
Okay, so Hangelism is a really easy way to remember how to preach the gospel.
And you learned this from Jason, right?
Yeah, that's the guy right there.
Did you originate that, Jason, or get it from someone else?
I did. It originated right here.
Well, don't brag about it. Just...
Well, it's random, so it's not like it's... Hangelism, it just sounds strange.
Yeah, I know.
And that's that way you good. Can memorize
okay,
it.
Okay, so tell... What is Hangelism?
One day he walked in, and he was like, I came up with a new word. Hangelism is just invite, index finger. Main finger will be the main question.
You don't want to leave that one up alone. You always have the other finger next to it.
Yes, and the ring finger will be to rethink your, why do you believe what you believe? Mm-hmm. And the pinky will be to preach the gospel.
Yeah.
And the thumb will be for their response.
Did he get it right, Jason?
He did. He nailed
okay,
it.
Good.
Good job.
So tell me, so you walked up to this guy, raised as a Muslim, but he's not practicing. Tell me what happened.
Yeah, so he's not practicing. So I'm going through the main question. I asked him, what do you think you're going to go when you die? And he tells me that he doesn't know. And he questions the fact that he actually said, maybe paradise. And so I asked him, like, why maybe paradise? He's like, I don't know. And that's how I knew he was backslidden in his religion. So then I proceeded to maybe skip over rethink his beliefs because he was already rethinking them himself. And I went to preach the gospel, and I explained to him what Jesus meant and what Jesus did. And he only had one question for me, and he asked, why would Jesus do that after he understood what the gospel was? And I just told him that Jesus just wants to please his Father, God, so that we can have that right relationship that he intended for us to have with him. And so that's why Jesus did it, to please his Father. It's love. And so I led him in a prayer.
Praise God.
No, that's awesome. And you know, there were a bunch of great conversations out on the street. Me and Keith, you know, Keith, there's a microphone right behind you. You know, Krista has it. Keith, we walked up and, you know, so we had everybody broken up, guys with guys and girls with girls. And so we were at the spectrum, you know, starting conversations. And so Keith and I were together and we talked to some people that, you know, it was kind of heartbreaking. You know, one guy we walked up, he was talking about meaning and you really related a lot with it, Keith.
Yeah. You know, Right into the conversation, automatically he says, I don't want to have a relationship with God, and that I just want to fall asleep and never wake up. And, you know, that really resonated with me. And I was able to, you know, just direct my attention to him immediately, and I related with him on terms. And that was my... That was part of my testimony in my life, and it was just super, super amazing to me to be able to witness to him. And even though that we didn't get through to him, you know, at the end of the night, he still said, I still do not want to have a relationship with God. And the only thing we could do was just tell him that we loved him and that there was a God in heaven that loved him. And I think we planted a seed with him, and I don't think he'll ever forget us. He won't forget that night, and hopefully one day we'll see him here in this church.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. Amen. Yeah.
Amen. You know, the gospel is sort of like a time bomb. You know, when you sow it, sometimes it doesn't detonate till later. So you'll be talking to someone and you're thinking, this is totally a waste of time. It's not working. They're not listening, but they are listening because God says his word will not return void. It'll prosper in the place he sends it. You're kind of getting scared right now, aren't you? because someone is going to have to say something publicly. Okay, so I'm not going to just grab someone randomly. In this front row here, who of you have never shared your faith before? And I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to know. You've never talked to someone about Jesus. Raise your hand up. Okay. Wow, you guys are awesome. Okay, who has not shared their faith before? You just never have engaged a person. Don't be lying to me. You're in church. I know there are some of you. Come on, someone that's close to me here. You've never done. Okay, now tell me, listening, what is your name?
Cherie.
Okay, Cherie. Listening to these people, does that encourage you where you would say, you know, maybe I would go out and try that?
Maybe.
So, that's a good answer. I like that. It's a good answer because that's an honest answer. What intimidates you about walking up to, like these folks did, just people just like you, walking up to a stranger and talking to them about Jesus? What freaks you out about that, or does it freak you out, or how do you react to that?
Because I don't know that much about the Bible.
Yeah. How long have you been a Christian?
Maybe 2 years.
Do you know John 3:16?
I've heard it.
Okay. Got to memorize that one, all right? That's your homework assignment. John 3:16. Next Thursday. Okay? I'll check on you. Got to learn that one. Listen, if you know John 3:16, you're armed and dangerous. You know more than you think you know. I know you think, well, you don't know that much, but if you come and you hear the word of God, it's taking effect in your heart. And I think you might be surprised if you entered into a conversation with someone, how all of a sudden a bunch of things would start kicking into gear. Okay, so over in this section here, who of you has shared your faith and you kind of felt like it didn't go that well? You shared your faith and it didn't go well. Okay, it didn't go well. Okay, let's go back here. Guy with a Hurley hat. Is that a Hurley hat? Yes, it is. Okay, so tell me what happened. Stand up.
My name is Jay, and we went to a skid row with your son, Jonathan. And I was preaching to some of the people that are out on the streets.
And like, were you preaching or just talking, or what were you doing?
We were just, you know, hanging out, talking to them, asking them how we're doing. And next thing you know, one guy started talking, and then his buddy came over, and it's like, man, you don't need that, you know. So just walk away from that. Yeah. Just nobody loves you. And it's like, man, you feel bad because you're like, you want to share what God has done in my life and the people around us, but they're like, they don't want to hear it no more. So it's like, so like that girl said, you know, once your friend pulls you out, it's pretty much over.
Did that make you feel like I'm never going to do this again or what?
No. I want to do it more.
Good. Good for you.
That's great.
God bless you.
That's great.
So, Jason. So, Jason, what do you do when you walk up to somebody and they say, I don't want to hear this, or they walk away? You know, what's the best way to handle that?
You just ask them a question. You know, generally, they can't read you because you're not coming out all super aggressive, like, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. You know, sit there and listen to me. So you got to go incognito, and you just simply say, hey, I would like to invite you out to church. We walked up to a guy, you know, this past Saturday, and he said, no, I don't want to hear about it. I said, hear about what? He said, hear about whatever you're talking about. I'm like, well, what am I talking about? Said, I just want to invite you out to church. Oh, okay. You just got to ask questions and be kind, put a smile on your face, and kind of push past it just real gently. You can kind of sidestep. They put a smoke screen up, you know, and just sidestep it real gentle and say, well, I just want to invite you to church. Have you ever been to church? Again, the invite stage. And then I say, well, before I go, if you were to die today, where do you think you would go? And this past Saturday night, you know, the guy that me and Keith talked to, the very first guy, he's like, oh, I think I'd go to heaven. And so you don't have to necessarily just give up when someone puts up, you know, a little like stop sign. Just press just a little bit in kindness, you know, not super aggressive. And I have found that generally people like to talk about spiritual things. And there was a lot of that, you know, this past weekend at the Spectrum.
You know, when I was a kid, I wanted someone to talk to me about Jesus Christ. And I was waiting for someone to approach me, and I'd hang around down at the Fun Zone in Newport, you know, which hasn't changed since I was a kid, by the way. And I would lean against a wall and look real tough, you know, hair hanging in my eyes. Use your imagination. And the Christians would be out giving out, you know, like little religious tracts and stuff. And in my heart, I was saying, please talk to me. But I was so proud. I wouldn't say, talk to me. And you know what? No one ever talked to me. They'd give me things to read. I'd grab them like I didn't care. But I never threw them away. I stuffed them in my pocket. And I took them home, and I had a drawer at home. It was sort of like my God drawer. Anything religious that was given to me, I kept it and put it in this drawer. So I had stuff from Christians, from Mormons, from Jehovah's Witnesses, from people that work for Amway. I mean, everything.
And I don't know what Amway is. Well, but what's Amway?
It
doesn't matter.
Yeah, they sell stuff. Anyway.
Okay.
So periodically, I would take my drawer and empty it on my bed and try to make sense out of it. And, you know, all I needed was someone to sort this out for me. And I think there's a lot of people out there that are like that. Jonathan, what are some of your experiences out there the other night?
Here's the mic.
I've obviously been able to share my faith from behind a pulpit, and I've gotten comfortable doing that. And it's one thing to share it as a monologue, meaning just sharing it, not having anybody interrupt. That's happened a couple times, I guess. People have interrupted from the crowd. But mainly just having a monologue. And so for me to go out and do this, this for me was actually a stretch of faith. And listen, I've invited friends to church that, you know, I partied with and everything, but I've never had that close the deal moment where I've had them get down on their knees. So when we started doing this series, I was just like, hey, you know what? I'm going to go out. I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow Jason's roadmap that he's laid out, the evangelism. I memorized it and made sure that I followed those steps. Now, listen, I didn't lead anybody to Christ, but I talked with three different groups of guys. The first group of guys, I was with Dominic. And Dominic, the man, he closed the deal with three high school kids. Three of them said that they had nominal belief. You know, they were kind of raised in the church. They didn't really know what the gospel was. Dominic explained it beautifully, articulated it so well, following that God-man-Christ response, which is also laid out on the evangelism website. And he was able to close the deal. So that gave me a boost of confidence. I went out and I talked with a couple different groups of people, and I encountered three Muslims, two Catholics, and one atheist. And what I realized is none of them know what they're talking about. They all say, oh, I'm a Muslim. And most of us would just go, oh, well, you probably have pretty strong faith then, or you probably know what you're talking about. The Muslims, the Catholics, and the atheists, none of them could articulate really what they believed. And so as I asked questions, I realized that. And with all three groups, I was able to completely articulate the gospel and share with them that whole big picture of God's plan of salvation for them. And listen, like my dad said, that's success. That's success because if you share the gospel, it doesn't matter what role you play, harvesting the seed, planting the seed, watering the seed, it's God that brings the increase. And so I got to play a role in that, and that's success in my book and in God's book.
Go ahead, Jason. So sitting right behind Jonathan is a guy, I mean, because you mentioned people walked up to you and shared the gospel with you, or at least gave you a track. What's pretty interesting, you know, when you think about, well, is it fruitful, you know, to go out and share your faith on the street? Do people actually come to Christ, and do they get plugged into the church? Where do they go? You know, here's Eddie, and Eddie is a very interesting case here because, well, he gave his life to Christ on the street. And this past Saturday, he was out witnessing with us. I don't want to steal the glory, but what happened in your life, Eddie?
Long story short, I was 16 years old. I was at a movie theater in Riverside, and I was hanging out with a group of my friends. I was up to no good. I was a bad kid since, you know, very young age, raised by a single mom, so no excuse. But nevertheless, they shared the gospel to me, and that was the first time that I got to hear it. You know, I've seen the cross. I've seen Jesus. I never had the interest to pursue it, but I just had that kind of just observation, just, okay, I see that there. I know that's somebody or that's something. And that was the first time in my life that somebody explained the whole gospel to me. And it sounded too good to be true. And to be honest, there's two things that they said that stuck to me. They said, do you want to know that when you die, you'll go to heaven and you have all your sins forgiven? And they also mentioned something to me that personally hit me and hit home is, do you want a father who will never leave you nor forsake you? You know, growing up my whole life, I had that deep void I kept inside, never really shared with anybody. And God knows how to reach you personally where you're at. You know, he can meet the deepest needs of your life. And to me, it's just a blessing to be a part of this ministry because at 16 years of age, I was on a route of life that was going to lead me somewhere very bad. And God came and preached the gospel to me just at the right time with the right things to say to me. And by his grace, you know, my life has been transformed. I'm nowhere near the person I used to be. Obviously, still plenty of potential for work, but nevertheless, I'm thankful for this ministry. Because of this ministry, I'm now married, have four kids, and I have the blessing and privilege to lead my kids in the ways of the Lord and my wife as well. So amen. It's been a privilege, yeah.
Amen. That's an awesome testimony. Yeah, great. You know, a lot of times when people say, you know, I'm a Muslim, I'm a Catholic, I'm an atheist, they may or may not be, those are a lot of times smoke screens to get you to go away. And then coming back to the woman at the well, that's exactly what she did with Jesus. She tries to get into some random debate. Well, you know, Jews have nothing to do with Samaritans, and our fathers believed the temple, this and that, blah, blah, blah. Jesus just kind of says, yeah, you know what? God's a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And he brought the conversation back on track. So the objective is when someone comes with sort of a pushback, try to build a bridge. For instance, a Catholic. Now, you can be a Christian and be a Catholic, right? But not every Catholic is a Christian, nor is every Protestant a Christian. So sometimes someone will say, well, I'm a Catholic. Well, then build a bridge. Say, well, you believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins as a Catholic, right? Yes, I do. And you believe that Jesus was the Son of God, right? Yes, I do. Now, let me ask you this. Do you believe that you will go to heaven when you die? See, many Catholics don't have the assurance of faith. But you can tell them you can have the assurance of faith. So build a bridge. Well, I don't disagree with this. Don't get into a debate about Catholicism. Build on things that you would have in common, even a Muslim. Well, you believe that Jesus was a prophet, right? Well, yes, we do believe him. Well, here's some things that Jesus said. And again, remember, one of the most powerful weapons in your arsenal is your personal testimony, right? Your story. You have a story. Everybody's story is legitimate, talking about how you came to Jesus. Let's find someone else out here who has led a person to Christ out and about in a conversation. Someone raise your hand if you've ever led a person to the Lord. Okay, here's a guy deeply embedded here. Why don't you come on out here if you could? Yeah. Well, I see you have a Harvest shirt, so I like you already. And you have a Harvest hat, which is even better.
Got in Georgia.
Yeah, you got in. Did you go with us to Georgia?
He was on my team.
Oh, he's one of your team.
He's one of mine.
What's your name?
Troy.
So, Troy, tell me what happened.
My first ever conversation I've ever gotten into with was a Catholic. Yeah. He didn't believe that he was going to go to heaven when he dies. Actually, he didn't have assurance. He said, well, I'm a good person. Yeah. So after placing down like what the Ten Commandments show, yeah, that we're all guilty. Yeah. Romans chapter 3, verse, yeah, 23, all have sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard. And so after sharing what Jesus Christ did with them, he accepted the Lord, yeah, into his heart, and he's like, I feel it. I feel forgiven. Yes. And so he made a commitment to follow Christ.
Man, praise God. God. Now look. Wait, I didn't ask you. How old are you?
I'm 22.
You're 22, and how long have you been a Christian?
Since I was 7, but following the Lord 3 years.
So 3 years you've been walking with the Lord. So the reason I'm doing this is to show you, you can do this, right? You can do this. Every one of you can do this. And there's no reason why you should not be doing this. And let's address this with some of the folks on the stage, Jason. Is evangelism ever fun and exciting? Is it?
Look at some of the smiles on these, yeah, faces,
get,
you know? Like,
get a mic to them and tell me something. Why it's fun and exciting. We don't want to limit it to fun because it's very serious. It's life and death. But there is a joy in it, isn't there? And tell me, why do you think there's a joy? Someone take the mic and tell me why.
Vu, what do you think? So here's Vu. And so Vu, tell us, I mean, is evangelism fun?
Absolutely.
Why?
I would say it's probably the spiritual way of getting our batteries charged up. Because, wow, when you're sharing the gospel with individuals and seeing them bow their heads and accept Jesus Christ into their own life, it just really kind of fills you up spiritually. And by nature, I think that's the food that we need for our soul, you know?
That, man, he just hit on such a key
thing. That
was
really good.
Very good. See, because that is almost what you would think the opposite. Oh, no. It's like spiritual warfare. And sometimes it is, right? And it's draining. And sometimes it is. But what you don't think about is you're replenished. Here's what the Bible says. Given it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. This is Christ speaking. And with the same measure you give, it will be measured back to you. And the Bible also says, he that waters others, his soul will flourish. So the idea is, I think, oh no, I need to come and be blessed, and I need to learn, and I need to grow. Yes, you do. But you know what? There comes a point when you've heard enough Bible studies, you've been to enough prayer meetings, and you've been to enough worship services. I mean, not that you could ever be to enough, but I'm trying to make a point. Now it's time to go out and share what God has given you. And if you do not go out and share what God has given you, you can actually start to sort of stagnate spiritually. So people wonder, how do I stay revived and active? I think a key element in addition to regular Bible study, this is our...
RPGs.
Yeah, RPGs. Tell them what the RPGs are.
So the RPGs, this is reading your Bible, praying, going to church, and the last one is sharing your faith.
Yeah, so having an outlet, the joy of it, and I tell you, when you lead someone to Christ, it is one of the best experiences, isn't it? Have you ever led someone to Christ?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Tell me what happened.
Two girls over at Tyler Mall in Riverside. Yeah. Two girls and one boy. Yeah. And
all at the same time?
Yeah.
You mean all three of them accepted the Lord?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And just walking up to them and sitting down, and it was actually a group of like six people, and then though did they know actually another group of our people were talking to the other half, and then they come over to me and I'm, you know, preaching the same thing, and only three of them actually stayed and listened and accepted the gospel. Yeah.
Did they all pray together at the same time?
Yeah, we led them in the prayer. Yeah.
Unbelievable. You want to know a secret? You can be gifted as an evangelist and never stand behind a pulpit. Some of the most effective evangelists I know, I think some of them are sitting on the stage, to tell you the truth, right here. Okay? But there are people that I think are extraordinarily gifted. Clearly, you know, Jason is as well. But they're gifted kind of out one-on-one. They're really good at it. And I've met people I'm just blown away by their giftedness, how they can walk up to people and engage them. And you know, so you think it's only for a certain kind of a person. Well, no, God distributes these gifts as he chooses. But having said that, some may be gifted as an evangelist, all of us are called to evangelize, right, Jason?
That's right, yeah. I mean, some are crafted, all are called.
I'm really shy and I'm embarrassed and, you know, and I don't have the gift of gab or whatever. But everyone needs to do this, don't they?
Well, again, everyone is not necessarily crafted, but all are called. And it was what, yeah, you know, Paul told Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Yeah. And this is something I think goes for every single one of us. Don't necessarily freak out about talking to a stranger. You have people around you right now that God has put in your life that you should be engaging with the gospel. You know, Pastor Greg uses this acronym called FRAN. You know, not like talking to your grandma Fran, but like FRAN, it's friends, relatives, associates, and neighbors. Think about someone in your life that doesn't know the Lord. It's not by accident you live by them, or you're related to them, or you work with them. God planned it, and so this is your opportunity.
Okay, so let's kind of wrap this up with a different tack. Okay, we've talked about going up to people cold, strangers. Now let's talk about people that live next to us, people that we work next to every day, so we're going to see them tomorrow. It's not a one-off thing. I'm going to see them tomorrow at work. Or people I go to school with, I sit next to them, I run into them in between class. Do you approach those people a little differently than maybe a complete stranger? You know, how do you approach family people or friends or Fran, basically?
It's important that right off the bat, you let them know where you stand. Don't leave it up to suggestion like, oh, you know, they'll figure it out eventually that I'm a Christian. Yeah. Let it know right in the beginning, hey, I love God and I love his word. And you will find out that most people in the very beginning will maybe push back a little bit, but when the bottom drops out in their life, they're going to come to you for prayer. You know, the coworker that I used to work with, the mechanic, you know, when his marriage started falling apart, guess where he went for prayer? The Christian. And so I got to pray with him.
Yes.
And so you show your Christian life, and then you just be open and vocal about what God is showing you. Yeah. You know, you mow your lawn, you know, like you're a good neighbor.
Maybe mow their lawn.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, mow their lawn. Yeah. Right. You just show yourself to be a Christian and then open and vocal about it at the same time.
Yeah.
And so it's definitely
it's harder
hand
to reach
hand.
Family, though, than it is to walk up to a stranger, isn't it? Because,
it
you
is.
Know, especially if it's like, say, your mom or your dad or something, they've known you since you've been, obviously, this little one, you know, they're looking at you a little differently. So sometimes it takes longer to reach family members. Don't forget, Jesus' own family did not believe in him until after his death and resurrection. And who was a better example than Jesus? He was perfect. So the point is, family is hard to reach.
Is there anybody up here that had a witness to your family up on stage? Yeah.
They've never talked to their family.
Okay, well, this is the start. Okay,
hi, what's your name?
Letitia.
Letitia, so tell me, what member of your family did you talk to and what happened?
I've probably talked to all of my family, but I would say my mom for sure was the number one that I've really fortunate enough that she, I prayed for the Lord to bring her here, actually. She lives in Georgia. And I was like, you know, Lord, if she'd come here and accept you, that'd be so me. I'd bring her right here. And she did just a few days before we got married, and she got to accept Christ right here with you. Wonderful.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Great. Yeah. Amen. I mean, here I am. I've been a pastor for over 40 years, and the hardest person for me to reach was my own mother, you know, for years is no, 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 no. And at the very end of her life, she came to Christ. And, you know, the Bible says that Jesus could do no mighty works in his hometown because of unbelief. Sometimes the ones who know you the best are the hardest to reach. And it's more of a, it's a different strategy. You know, if you walk up to a complete stranger, you may articulate the gospel. And if you're led by the Lord, you may even say, would you like to accept Christ? But, you know, you don't want to say that to a member of your family every single day, right? Like, so do you want to accept Christ yet? You know, so there comes a point, you know, where you've shared it. Now you got to live it. In fact, it's interesting. Talking to believing wives, Christian wives, and non-believing husbands, Peter says that you should reach your non-believing husband without a word by the way that you live. You know, so there comes a point where it's like, stop preaching, start living. But then pray for the leading of the Lord, because I felt strongly directed by God one day out of the blue, but really on God's schedule, to go have the conversation with my mom. And that was the day she made that recommitment. So you may be living it and you've shared it and they've heard it. You've brought them to church and maybe they haven't accepted Christ like her mom did. And you think, oh, they're never going to come around. And then the Lord just says, do it again, you know. Engage again, ask them again. You just never know. So I hope that this series has been helpful to you. More than anything else, I don't want you to just hear a bunch of things maybe you've heard before. I want you to take a risk. I want you to take a risk this week. And before the week is over, and say, all right, Lord, I'm going to give it a go. I'm going to leave my comfort zone and I'm going to look for an opportunity. Trust me, they're everywhere. And you just say, just lead me, Lord. And I'll tell you what, God seems to take us up when we pray prayers like that. Lord, I'm open. I'm available. Here I am, Lord. Send me, as the prophet prayed. And the Lord will just sort of nudge you. I've never had him give me a detailed blueprint. Do this on this day and talk to this person. You know, go over and wait here at this place and they will arrive at this. No, never anything like that. I'm just out and about my normal daily things. And the Lord will just sort of direct me here and there. So start praying about that. And I bet you'll have one of those conversations before the week is over. And maybe you'll even have the opportunity to lead someone to Christ. We have some amazing evangelistic opportunities coming up. Of course, Harvest America in Arizona on June 11th. And I'm hoping a lot of you will come with us to Arizona. I really want you guys to come to Arizona, because you guys are awesome. And I want you guys to come too and get out there and share the gospel. Just bring your sunscreen, because it is June in Arizona, right? But excuse me. And then, of course, we have our crusade at Angel Stadium a little bit later in the summer. That we'll tell you about more as we get closer to it. But, you know, there's always just next Sunday at church. And I'll guarantee this. I will give an invitation at the end of every one of my messages, no matter what I'm talking about. So if you bring someone here that does not know the Lord, you can rest assured they will be given an opportunity to come to Jesus. And they're not going to get here if you don't bring them, for the most part. So let's start saying, Lord, here I am, send me. I don't think, Jason, I want to close without extending an opportunity to someone who is here, who maybe has never accepted Jesus. We're talking all about how to do this. And I think that they need to think about, you know, their own life. And so, Jonathan, what would you say to someone? They're here maybe for the first time. They're hearing this all for the first time. And they're saying, you know what? I would like to believe in Jesus. What do they need to do to ask Christ to come into their life right here, right now?
Well, you came on kind of a night where we're having this family talk. We're talking about how to share our faith, talking about how to share that hope that lies within us. And, you know, the hope of the believer is heaven. The hope of the Christian is that, yes, we'll go on to paradise. We will go and see Jesus face to face. But the alternative to that is, if you do not put your faith in Jesus Christ, You're not receiving his forgiveness. That blood that he shed will not extend to you unless you receive it, unless you ask, not even ask for it, but just receive it. It's a gift. God's already done it for you. It was accomplished when he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you. And so if you want to know that when you die, you will go to heaven, but more than that, you want to know that you will have a fulfilled life here on earth. You see, when I put my faith in Jesus Christ, I wanted to know that I would go on to see my loved ones that had gone on before me. My brother was killed in a car accident, and I wanted the hope that I'd see him again. And as I matured in my faith, I realized, yes, heaven is heaven because my brother's there, but heaven is heaven because Jesus is there. I'm going to see Jesus face to face, and hell truly is hell because it is completely absent. Jesus is not there. That is what makes it hell, because Jesus is not there. So listen, friend, if you've been listening to us here tonight, talk about this. Talk about this hope that lies within us. Talk about sharing our faith. And you haven't yet put your faith in Jesus Christ. We want to give you that opportunity, because this is a church where we can't help but tell people about the hope that lies within us. We can't help but tell people that they can have a relationship with the God that created the entire universe, made you in his image. So let's pray together, and I want to give you that opportunity now. Let's all pray. Lord, we do thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for us. While we were still dead in our sin, Christ died for our sin. And we know that we couldn't be good enough. You laid out your law for us to know what your requirement is to get into heaven. And Lord, it's perfection, the Ten Commandments. And if we have broken any point of those, we've broken the whole law. We've broken the whole thing. So Lord, we've all fallen short of your glory. We've all fallen short of your standard, but we thank you for sending Jesus. We thank you that he died on our behalf. And if we were the only person on earth, God's only creation, we know that Jesus would have done that for us also. So while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're praying, if there's anybody here tonight that would say, when I die, I want to know that I'm going to go to heaven. When I die, I want to know that I'm going to see those loved ones that have gone on before me. I want to see Jesus face to face, my Savior. You want to be able to be in the presence of God where there is fullness of joy. I'm going to ask that if any point of this gospel presentation or any part of my dad's message tonight touched your heart, I want to encourage you to raise your hand, and I want to lead you in a prayer. It's a simple prayer, one of repentance, one of asking God to come into your heart, Jesus to come into your life. So if you've heard my dad's words tonight and they've impacted your heart, or you've heard something that I've shared or Jason shared, or any one of the members of the team here up on stage, and it's impacted your heart, friend, I want you to know that that is the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart, and you don't want to ignore that prompting. So if you felt the Holy Spirit speak to your heart, I'm going to ask that you would raise your hand up, and I'll lead you in a prayer. So raise your hand up. God bless you. God bless you in the back there. Anybody else, you want to know that you can have a relationship with God? Yes, when you die, you will go to heaven, but you will even have a fulfilled purpose in life here on earth. You are created to know God and to have a relationship with him. Maybe you're like me, trying to fill that hole in your heart with different things. Things of this world, temporary fulfillment, drugs, alcohol, partying, all the best that the world has to offer has left you feeling empty. You have a God-shaped hole in your heart, and that is something that only a relationship with Jesus Christ can fill. So you want to have that hole filled in your heart. You raise your hand as well. God bless you. And God bless you over in the corner. Listen, you're among friends and family here. This is something we all want to see you do. Anybody else? You raise your hand up. All right. All right. Now, Pastor Jason is going to lead you in that prayer right now.
For those of you that raised your hand, pray this after me. Say it out loud and mean it in your heart. It's, Dear Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. I believe you came and you died on the cross and you rose again from the dead. Would you wipe away my sins? Would you be my God, my Savior, and my best friend? Fill me with your Spirit and help me follow you for the rest of my life. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.